It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Sam, how much time do you think I need in the gym?
Let's put you like this, young fella. Die, reborn, die again, and be reborn again. Then you might have a chance.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, you're all grown up. You're 34 years old.
34? That's a veteran.
34, man. Kind of scary. Yeah. Little bit scary. Mid-30s, holding on. Mid-30s.
The joke's over, right?
Yeah, man.
I can remember that age. It's like you think about it and you're... There's no goofing around anymore.
I would love to be
30. You got a kid, you got a wife.
I'd love to be 34. Again?
You'd go back to 34.
I'll be 46 in a couple weeks. Like, that's a number.
If you could go back to one number, what is it?
I say 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mid-20s.
Yeah, 25 where you're not...
Because you never think it's going to end.
At 25, you feel like you've been through that first phase, where the drinking phase and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel like you got your you-know-what together a little bit.
You've had some life experience.
You think you know it all. You can go out. You can still wake up to go to work. There's no pain.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Maybe a little money in your pocket. I mean, you guys had a different 25 than the average person. But the average person... Done school, maybe starting a career, feeling like they've got some confidence, had a couple of girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Feel cultured, right? You feel like you're moving on up in life.
I agree.
34, there's no feel for 34. It's just a birthday.
It's a number. That's what it is.
There's no feel for it. I don't have a feel.
And you shouldn't. It's just another. Like, you shouldn't feel any different, nothing. You're 34 years old.
Well, I'm a believer that there are two types of people in the world. One type of person is the person that will bask in their birthday celebrations.
Right.
Loves the fact that it's their day.
Oh, are you a guy that has a birthday for a month?
No, I'm the opposite. I don't love the attention. I don't like the birthday conversations.
You're just miserable on your birthday.
I'm kind of the opposite way. I don't need the stop and chats and, hey, how's everything going? Well, how old are you now?
And people reaching out, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And
it's very nice. I'm not saying that it's not nice. And I'm not casting aspersions on either type of person, but I really think there are two types of person. Birthday guy or girl.
Yeah.
Or the person who's like, it's all good.
I totally agree. I think everybody puts so much importance on their birthday nowadays. It's like, look at me. It's my 27th. It's my 32nd. Vegas parties. I mean, it's like, for real? I'm lucky. My family... We all love each other very much, but if we don't call one of the people in the family on their birthday, nobody cares.
I'm with you.
If I didn't call my mom on her birthday, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't say, why didn't you call me?
I didn't grow up in a big birthday family.
Really?
Like, my sister and I, my oldest sister and I, her birthday is May 31st, so we always do the kind of joint, let's go out for dinner, and we all like the same kind of spots.
Yeah, just a family thing.
And my sister and my dad are within, like, 10 days of each other, so they always kind of teamed up. And then my mom was on an island, but my mom was always like, it's all good, like, we'll get together or whatever. It's never a big birthday family.
No.
Like, I picture the Kardashians, it's like a month-long thing for every single Kardashian.
I hate that.
I hate it, too. I mean, you get your day, do your thing, and move on, you know?
I don't like gifts. That's just not what I'm like.
Right. I'm not going to lie, we're pretty close on this show. I wanted to do something nice for you. I got you lasagna today.
That was huge.
It was unbelievable.
That was very, very nice of you to do that.
So I'm thinking, I called Steph. I'm like, where do I get a lasagna? I don't want to pick it up around my house and then bring it in because it's not hot.
Have it leak all over your car.
Well, there's a place up the street. So I'm like, I want a lasagna. I'm thinking like $40 for a lasagna.
No.
Like a sheet. Dude, that thing is massive. That could feed a ship.
You needed a forklift.
So I fire up the debit card, and I'm like, I got the lasagna. I ordered it for 3 o'clock. I want to check out. She goes, that'll be $101. I go, what? $101 for lasagna.
And look at who's
for
into
Sean
it right
Levine
now.
To for Sean take Levine half to of it home.
Pig.
It's a pig.
Sean Levine will take half of that sheet home.
He will.
I'll tell you what. Oh, you weren't here. So Friday, Pooley's in here filling in for you. And I happen to be at Fairview Mall getting something for my iPhone or whatever. And I said to Steph, do you want a booster juice? Right across from booster juice is a Cinnabon. And I can't... Cinnabon's got that smell, right? Like, you roll by, you need to...
Very intoxicating.
So I'm like, all right. It's Friday. It's mail it in Friday. Pooley's in. Like, I'll grab six. They've got the caramel, and they've got the pecans and stuff. So I carry it in, and I put it on the desk, and over the loudspeaker...
Big face.
Sean Levine is like, is that Cinnabon? I'm like, how does he smell it through the glass? He spotted it.
He's a pig.
And
he had one, didn't he?
Well, we ate. So Pooley and I had one. Hayes, you didn't want one at the time. I think Steph had a little bit. Malls dived in, and Brian, the intern, I think they had a little bit. What was it, 7 o'clock?
At least 6:45, at least 2 hours and 45 minutes after Scotty Mack had signed off.
Yeah, so Scotty Mack's gone. Sean Levine's still in the building. He had circled back and was going to town on one behind the glass.
Yes, it was like Costanza at the U.S. Open. Remember when he got caught eating the sundae and it's all over his face?
He was going to town.
I swear, he could go on a fast and only eat the food that we bring in here, and yeah. He'd survive.
Well, he would survive. We're on some, like, food kick now. Like, it's every day.
I know. It's got to stop, man. I'm trying to keep things under control. I'm 34 now. I got to watch
myself. Yeah, your metabolism's going to slow down a little bit. You got to get on the...
Well, I'm hitting the gym, and I didn't do that today, but yesterday I was there, and I'm feeling okay. How do you think Pittsburgh's feeling about their life?
I don't know. I thought they played pretty well. Like, they had some chances. Like, they had some good chances last night, but their D are struggling. Like, their Achilles heel. And if you're a forward, I imagine skill guys want the puck. And you've got guys like Olli Mäto and Ron Hainsey just throwing pizzas up the middle. And, like, at some point, those guys are going to be like, hey, like, get us the puck, and we'll get ourselves out of trouble.
I don't know if anybody else has done this, but I was watching Pittsburgh a couple times last night, and I thought to myself, if I'm Ottawa, if I'm Wash, I'm watching them saying, how did they beat us?
You know what it is? I think Craig Button had a great analogy. He said, Ottawa missed the boat because they sat back. Nashville's not sitting back. They are all over Pittsburgh's D, and that's their Achilles heel. Now they can't get out of their zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, they still generated a lot of chance. Like, Rene had to be really good last night. And if you are Pittsburgh, it's funny, the narrative, it'd be interesting to get your guys' take, but the narrative, Nashville thinks they should have had better success in the first two games. Pittsburgh was opportunistic. Last night, Pittsburgh, their narrative's like, yeah, we generated a lot. Rene was really good. And I felt like that was a game that Pittsburgh, if they would have won that game, I could have seen them winning that game. But Nashville deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that was the case in game three. I didn't think Pittsburgh played very well.
Not at all.
I don't think they could walk out saying they got robbed. I think last night that was a coin flip for the most part. But like the previous three games, once a team takes that second lead,
yeah.
Whoever goes up 1-0, it doesn't necessarily matter. But whoever goes up 2-1, it's as if you could turn the lights out. And when Goudreau scored that goal,
yep.
I really thought the tables turned. Now, Pittsburgh still had some opportunities, but as you were pointing out, I was impressed by the fact that Nashville, it's like what Babcock always says, treat every moment of the game like it's tied. They were up 3-1 in a must-win game, and they were pushing, and they were creating off... You know,
yep.
The forecheck, and they were creating odd man rushes, and they were pushing Pittsburgh around. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this in both the Cup Final and the NBA Finals, how yet again we get to 5 minutes left in a game, and it's over.
Yeah.
And that's what happened last night.
Yep, you're right.
And it was 3-1. Pittsburgh had a couple of chances, and they had a power play halfway through the third, and they couldn't generate anything, and just nothing came out of it. And we had another situation where... Game is over with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, can we get a tie game in any of these games with 5 minutes left in the third period or the fourth quarter?
Oh,
it's really disappointing for me.
I'm different. I thought it was kind of entertaining. Obviously, when it was, the score was what it was, you kind of know who's going to win. But I didn't come away from that game thinking I wasn't entertained. I was entertained.
I agree that it was a good, it was a well-executed game. It was a fun game. It was a fun game. But I'm just saying at the end,
you got to be like a hockey fan to enjoy that game. I don't know.
You need some suspense, though. You need to close it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're right. I thought it started slow. You know, a bunch of icings and offsides. It was kind of a weird, choppy start. But for the most part, all the way through the first two periods, man, there were a lot of give and goes, a lot of back and forth. I thought it was a great pace. It was the best game of the series so far.
Yeah, it was.
I'm just saying, at some point,
you wanted to.
You need a great finale. You need a great finish. 2-2
with 8 minutes left.
You wanted Kessel to go down and rip one in off the wing, and then Malkin scoring to tie it.
Right.
Then you wanted over. Like you.
I was hoping for that. Admittedly, I was hoping for that, but in the moment, honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen. And that has been the story of the finals in both leagues for me, is when it gets to 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, or up 15, up 17, up 19, it's over. Yep. You know. But you're right. I thought Pittsburgh played well. I thought both teams played well. I thought there were a lot of chances. I thought Pekka Rinne, clearly, he's out of the woodworks now, man. That's two games in a row where he's been brilliant.
Played very well.
And if he played that well in the first two games, Nashville would probably be up 3-1.
At least.
Maybe even finished the sweep. And I think the pendulum has swung here because that is four games in a row for me. Even though Pittsburgh played fine last night, I thought Nashville overall was the better team. I think they've been the better team four games in a row. So, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's in trouble here. People are talking about the 2 days off as if that's going to make a difference. What, Nashville's not going to benefit from that? Yeah. I think Pittsburgh's in trouble.
Well, they've got
to snap out of something.
They've got to figure out a way. First of all, I didn't think 71 played very well last night, Malkin. Phil at least looked dangerous. He had a couple shots down the wall where I thought, if his sights are a little bit more doctored, pretty dangerous shots. And I thought Sid was really good. Like
Sid had a LeBron game last night. He was unreal, and it didn't matter because they lost.
Yeah, he did everything he could. You know, I thought Sidney was great. Jake Guentzel, like, this is where I was thinking about this last night. I don't know. I'll throw this on the table. So Guentzel, everything he's touched has found the back of the net. Now, he had five grade A opportunities last night. I thought to myself, I wonder if you're having a night like that where everything's not going in, I was wondering if Sullivan would have switched him and thrown maybe a guy like Sheary there. You know, and just because Sid was having a game, and I thought his line mate, especially Guentzel, struggled. And struggled by, I mean, is execution. Mm-hmm. You got a wide open net. Yeah, Rennie deserves full marks for getting back to that blocker save after the Crosby breakaway. But maybe a little different look on that line, a guy like Sheary. I don't know. I was just thinking about that because Sidney puts it on a tee for a one-timer from the slot, and Rennie makes a great save. But there was two times on the power play where it was tic-tac-toe, and Guentzel's wide open on the back door, and he misses it, or he whiffs it. And I kept thinking to myself, like, if you're not having a game, maybe there's an in-game adjustment there where you throw somebody who could maybe execute that. And it's no slight on Guentzel. I didn't think he was very good last night, and he could have been the difference in the game, considering. And if I'm Sidney Crosby, I'm pissed off that I put it on a tee for him at like five times or
true,
three times.
True, but he's also closed 13 times for you in the playoffs. So,
right, but I that's what I'm saying. If you're not having a night that night, like there's been times where I've played with Brett Hall who wasn't having a night, and Joel Quenneville had the balls to adjust him and say, Holly, it's not your night. I'm putting somebody else there for a one-timer. Like, that's to me where I think Sullivan's a really good coach. I think he's a good in-game adjustment coach, but I would have nipped and tucked there a little bit just to try a little bit of a different look.
Well, I think the biggest story of the round has been the Nashville crowd. I mean, I think that says something about the way these games have finished. And I know I keep pointing to it, but I think just as a fan without a dog in the fight, it's something that becomes obvious after a while. Last night, again,
4-1.
Something else.
It's crazy, but ask yourself this, because now people are jumping on the bandwagon. These are the best fans in the NHL. And
Toronto fans suck compared to Nashville.
Do you really want that fan experience in Toronto? Like, be honest.
I'll take it for the playoffs. Not every night, but I'll take it. Like,
that's the question you're asking. That can't be possible every night, so don't even bring that into the...
But you wouldn't want that if this was the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Cup Final. Like, you wouldn't want that type of atmosphere here in Toronto?
I look at it the complete opposite way. I want that during the regular season.
Right.
I don't want that garbage when I'm actually trying to concentrate on the game.
See, you're
I'm the opposite.
You're like me. You want
to
just sit
Tuesday night, Carolina in town in October. Give me a reason to show up and yell and scream, man. Yeah. Let me walk away saying, what a cool fan experience. Game 4, Cup Final?
Yeah, but that's not possible on a Tuesday night with Carolina in town.
But it's a hypothetical anyway. I'm just answering a hypothetical. I don't want that. Oh, I got to chant something again. So, like, can we sit down and watch the game?
Chant something.
Like, I think the chanting and the yelling and screaming, good for you. It's cool. It's very unique.
Right.
It's something I admire from afar. Well, I don't want it.
Well, here's a question
in my
for
building.
You. So will you take?
I don't want it.
So you want the Platinums not to be empty and the guys being too cool to clap, or you want that? You can't have either.
That's
what
a different
describing.
Extreme.
He's describing the different markets. My dad. I got my dad and one of his good friends tickets to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I asked him after. I was like, "What'd you think?" He's like, "Wasn't really a fan of everybody standing up the whole game. I'm not gonna lie."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's like I had to stand up the whole game. I don't really like that. And I wouldn't either.
To each their own.
Right, right.
They're both all great fans, and I'm sure people in the building really love their team. And
right.
Not everyone has been on the bandwagon the whole time, let's be honest. There's a lot of people down there who are jumping on it recently, but that's right. Fine. But if you sit quietly and watch, or you yell and scream the whole game, it doesn't mean one is more committed to than the other.
You're right.
It doesn't mean one understands the game more than the other.
Here's an example.
It's just a different experience.
So we were in the building for game 6 against Washington. Pretty lively atmosphere, pretty loud. You would rather have that than what you saw last night?
Every day of the week.
Really? I wouldn't. I think that was loud. I think Nashville's another level, and I'm watching it on TV. Like, that's, you got 50,000 people in the street. Like, it's insane, that atmosphere. And I think it's good for hockey because, just like we've been talking about, Toronto is an educated market, as most Canadian markets are. I think people can learn from that this is still an entertainment business.
Yeah, well, from a player perspective, when I went to the rink in Carolina for playoff games,
right,
tailgating, everybody is at the rink at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they're drunk and they're loud.
But that's like,
I remember skating on the ice thinking, I've never heard noise like that.
That's something I would like to see.
Right.
But, see, you're saying, you got to remember, Noodles, this is orchestrated noise.
Right.
This is everyone else is shouting, you suck, so I'm going to yell, you suck.
Right. I don't care for that, but I mean, I just...
But that's part of it. That's what people are acknowledging more than anything else, is the chance and all that kind
chance,
of stuff.
But the thing is it can, and it's hypothetical, you could never recreate that. There's 82 games plus playoffs. We're talking 100 games almost. And cut them in half for home and away. But why people can do that at football games and college football games, they play once a week. So you can get revved up for that. You can't do that on a Tuesday against Arizona. You just can't.
Well, like, they don't do that in Nashville on a Tuesday in
October.
But
it is still a lively crowd. Like, it is the one thing that I've always noticed about Nashville, and that's right from the inception, was that was a lively building. They did have, like, when the penalties would come up, they have the fang fingers or whatever. Like, they do have these.
It's,
like,
a college
ridiculous
atmosphere.
Exactly.
That's where they get a lot of their P's and Q's.
I never
from
went to college.
Same thing in Carolina.
I never went to college. But to me, that's the way that they treat their entertainment. So,
which is fine. And again, I understand that. And if I'm going for the experience alone,
right,
that's what I would want. If I'm going for the game, because the game is so big and it means
it
so much.
Yeah.
I don't want people all around me yelling and screaming, chanting the whole time. That's just me.
Right.
And I think I speak for the majority of people in Toronto, even though a lot of times we criticize ourselves all the time. And I'm speaking of Joe Fan in Toronto about
the
suits and this, that, or the other. I don't think it's in our DNA because I think we go to the rink thinking, I want to see the phantom call. I want to see the trip. I want to see if that was icing.
As a player, you love it, but I wouldn't want to pay money and deal with it.
All right, Scott Hartnell will join us. We'll ask him about it. He started his career in Nashville.
Yep.
What he makes of this, and does he think Tortorella is going to win the Jack Adams? I would assume he'll say yes, but Ray's coming up. He was in the building last night. We'll get into it with Ray. There's some more news and notes coming out of the Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan fight in bar scene in Nashville. I don't know if you've heard the latest.
Comments, yeah.
Yeah, it's an update we need to get into. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Matt texting in sarcastically to 10:50:50. Wow, Hayes is really sound like a 34-year-old today. Don't forget to have some fun before it's too late, Brian.
Boy, you're miserable, eh, Brian? Or is that what he's saying?
Basically. I mean, listen, I'm just giving you my honest take on the fan experience. I understand from afar people look at that and say it's the greatest thing ever. I'm just saying in a big, big must-win, great atmosphere game,
but the thing
cup final... I don't want to be chanting the whole time. It's not in my DNA.
Yeah, but chanting is never in your DNA. That's the thing. Like, you would never, I could never see you in the mix. Like, chanting.
Yeah, but what if
anything?
You were in Nashville with your boys and just went as a casual fan? Like, you're not cheering for a team.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like it then?
If you're Rex and Rob,
like, it's
Ryan.
Like you're comparing it to a Maple Leaf game where that's your team,
right?
And you wouldn't want it there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes, to answer your question, would I love to be in the building last night and would I get involved? Yes, I would.
That's a good point.
Because I don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, you're just...
I'd be sitting there saying, let's get the home team winning. This would be cool for me to experience a win in their home building. I'll throw a Preds jersey on with the whole bunch and do the whole thing. I'm saying, yes, if it's my team...
You just want to watch and see what's going on.
My money.
Yeah.
Game 4 Cup Final. I don't want to have people standing chanting around me the whole time.
You don't
I just
want to be distracted.
I want to watch the game. And I want to yell and scream when the appropriate moment is there.
Right.
Breakaway, I'm up yelling with everybody else.
Right, right.
Offside but, call?
Nah.
Probably not going to be sitting there chanting, ref, you suck the
well,
whole
you'll
time.
Take a swig
I don't
of your
need
beer.
That. I don't need that to be considered this great sporting experience.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm saying.
No, it's a good point.
Different strokes for different folks.
Well, I just think that. Like, O makes a great point, because if you're a casual fan, that's stuff where you, like you say, you're enjoying the experience. If you're into it because that's your team, you want to see what's going on. I've never personally enjoyed sitting in the stands after being a player. I just can't handle it because there's a lot of coaches up there, and I get frustrated.
One of my good buddies has seats at the Jays games where they're, it's like the first row that goes up, and then they're like kind of... It's not a suite. It's just there's four individual seats where you're not connected to anything. You just there's food in the back. You get served drinks, and you don't have to be a part of the wave, all the fan stuff. It's like you're there right in the middle of it, but you're not. You can do your own thing, and nobody bothers you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the perfect situation.
Well, and I'll admit, like I'm a diehard, hardcore fan.
Right.
So I'm sure I approach it differently than many other fans who would sit there and say, I just want to go for the atmosphere. I just want to be there to be in the building and be with other people. It's like the difference between going to a bar to watch a big sporting event and watching it at home.
Right.
I'm a watch-at-home guy.
So am I.
Because I want to really pay attention.
Well, you want the luxury of forming your own opinion, seeing what you want to see, not being distracted by the guy walking in front. Like, there's a lot of moving parts that come with being either in the building or part of that atmosphere.
And admittedly, we come at it differently because we have to translate it to radio the next day.
Right, right.
So I do want to make sure I'm paying attention.
Exactly.
And, no, you know, there's a very true. Different viewpoint for, I mean, everyone, I'm just saying, like, now all of a sudden, Nashville is the greatest thing of all time. They're the greatest hockey fans ever. And let's just pump the brakes here. Okay, they party, they chant, looks like a cool atmosphere. Let's not pretend like it's the greatest hockey market on earth.
No,
it's but not.
I think it's giving what it is, though. I like it, and I'll tell you why. Because it shows that a non-traditional hockey market can have success, and there can be excitement there. And I think that's what has...
Man, you're sour on Nashville right now.
I'm not sour on
but,
Nashville.
But like, when you're... I'm going to tie it to when you get sour about Arizona and Florida and some of these markets that struggle with attendance and stuff. If you build a winner, people will come. And I'm excited for Nashville on that front where...
Yeah, but Nashville doesn't have a problem putting people in the building.
They never did, really. They never did. But I'm just saying, I think Arizona built the building in the wrong spot. I still think they can have success there. But you have to put together a good team and a good location for the rink, and people will come. It's just, it's a non-traditional hockey market, and
it's
get
a great
excited
story.
For it.
I'm exactly. not hating on them.
No,
don't,
you're
don't
not.
Take this as
I'm
me
not
hating
that
on
as
them.
A hate.
I'm not. What I'm saying is there are different types of fan experiences that are both great or yeah. maybe tailored to you as a specific sports fan. And all I'm saying is from my perspective,
yeah.
in a big game like that, I want to be paying attention. I want genuine reactions. I don't need the chance and all that kind of stuff
yep.
to define it as this incredible sporting event. We were in the building. I was in the seats for Game 6.
Yeah.
You guys were up in the press box. I was in the seats, lower yeah. bowl, Game 6, and that was as cool as you can get because yeah. every single reaction was a genuine reaction. When Matthews scored, that place went as nuts as they did in Nashville last night.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was bedlam in there. But we didn't have the chance. We don't have all that kind of stuff, and I'm just saying you don't need that here to prove that
you're yeah, the greatest fans
you're
ever.
You're the greatest fans ever. That's all I'm saying.
Well, John makes a good point. Nothing sounds worse than standing all game and then a dude in front of you has a catfish jammed in his shorts.
Well, they got thrown on the ice again last night. You knew it was coming.
You know it's
even, I think Lavi had like a statement to the public, don't do this.
Well,
they still did it.
Yeah, they don't care about Peter Lavi.
No.
What do they care about his statement? You see Bieber on Twitter last night causing a stir because...
defending himself and his behavior?
Yeah, I don't know what would have provoked this.
I think people were saying that he's a fair-weather fan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about it. If you're a rock star and you go into... say you come into Toronto, well, what's the first thing that... if you play at ACC, they're going to give you an Austin Matthews jersey. They're going to give you a Maple Leafs jersey. If you wear it that night on stage, people get excited. Like, I don't see why that's a big deal. Like, I actually... I agree with him. If he wants to be a fan, or and he even prefaced it by saying, like, I don't know enough sports. I don't know enough about sports to really dive in. He said, I'm a Leafs fan first and foremost, but he said everything else, I like it because of the jerseys that are given to me and stuff. I have no problem. Like, he's a different animal than you and I or Joe Fan walking around buying 12 different jerseys. Like, this guy gets stuff given to him free left and right because people want them to wear their product.
He's a Maple Leaf fan above all.
That's
anything else, he said, I'll throw on any jersey that looks cool. Drake probably puts Raptors above all else, and then he'll do the same thing. He'll jump on any bandwagon.
Yeah.
And these guys travel the world. They're in every stadium. They're probably in every locker room throughout North America.
It's interesting because I'm friends with Tyler from Theory of a Dead Man, the lead singer. And he'll text me and be like, hey, I'm in Nashville. We got to meet some of the guys. Or we're in Carolina. Got to meet some of the guys. Really cool. Do you know this player? Do you know? And they get excited about it because those guys may want to talk to them about music. They're huge hockey fans. But I don't know if they wear their jerseys that night on stage. But I think it's a networking thing. I can see where a fan would be a little bit pissed off because it's not genuine. It's you're a fan for the day because you're in that city, but you know, you move on.
Well, who cares? I mean, our producer caused a stir on Twitter because she was taking runs at Jersey Guy.
Oh yeah,
using the Overdrive account.
Well, I know. Like I almost had to block Overdrive account
because
I almost blocked it.
Steph's take on how she's speaking on behalf of the whole
show. She's speaking for us exactly, and throws agreed in there. Like, what is she doing?
Don't ever do that. 25 or older.
Yeah,
no jersey.
I don't know what she was doing. And then
I started seeing the comments, and I'm like, who did this to us?
Yeah. And then I call.
Like, Dark Guy?
Like, you're calling about the...
Like, get serious, Dark Guy.
Are you calling about the tweet?
You had a cigarette in your mouth in Washington, and you're chirping us about our... Like, just get real.
Oh. Dark Guy's got takes, man.
Gibby, too. Like, get serious, Gibby.
Yeah, Gibby needs to pass the brakes.
Yeah.
Gibby's our guy behind the scenes.
We all work
John
together,
Gibbons.
Gibby. We don't chirp you on the show. Don't chirp us. So give your head a shake. I had
Jersey
to get that
guy
off my chest.
Right, you
have an idea.
Yeah, have an idea.
Have an idea. All right, you guys want to hear the latest on Rex Ryan? And
yes, those two are something else.
So as we know, they got into that. It wasn't a fight. It was like a scuffle. Right? It was
a scuffle. Altercation.
Yeah, at some bar over the weekend, Margaritaville in Nashville over the weekend. But as we pointed out many times over the past couple of weeks, Nashville has developed itself into the bachelorette capital of America.
Yeah.
passing Vegas. You go to Nashville, there are bachelorette parties left, right, and center, and my word, does a bachelorette party love jumping on one of those bike bars where they all bike around bar? Not one guy has ever been on one of those things.
Have you ever been on a bike bar?
Never. Why would I ever do that?
You ever been on one?
I actually don't even know.
So it's a bar. It's a bar where
isn't that impaired? Like
No. It's a bar that's on like a bunch of bikes, like wheels, and you can just pedal along and sit at it, and like somebody drives it.
It's
like
the most unappealing thing you've ever seen in your life.
I would never do that in my life.
Every bachelorette party. We should have an overdrive bike bar.
We should actually.
And drive it down
one.
Young.
Maybe we'll do that. If the Leafs ever make the cup final, we'll do that.
We're going to have an overdrive bike bar?
Yeah. So anyway, every bachelorette party, that's like the thing. You got to get on the bike bar. You got to all bike around. I don't know. But there's bachelorette parties that eventually end up in bars, including in Margaritaville in Nashville. And according to the BustedCoverage.com, there was a young woman who was a part of a bachelorette party that caught the eye of young Rex Ryan. And he told her she had nice feet. Now, this is a guy with a history of foot fetishes. I mean, it's gone so public. His wife kind of outed him. Or I don't remember. Maybe that was the HBO Hard Knocks where it came out. I don't remember how it broke that Rex is into feet.
Yeah,
but he's into feet. And the girl said, we had no idea who he was at first when he walked over and started talking to me and my two friends. Then we came back with the rest of the group of us, and we got a picture with him and his brother Rob.
Yeah.
And I guess Rex, being a smooth operator, said, I really like that picture. Text it to me.
Ooh.
So then he's got the number going. Now, the problem is he's married.
Yeah.
Now, this is according to this woman who's a part of the Bachelorette, but this is where it kind of gets embarrassing for Rex. On the way out...
It already is.
On the way out, they were all leaving. He winked at the girl and said, quote, you know what I like, end quote. Which I think there's a number of embarrassing layers on this for Rex.
Right.
But they don't know who you are. So why would they know you're into feet? Like, is that supposed to be a pickup line, or is it self-deprecating? You think he's goofing on himself, or does he think that's actually going to work on a girl?
Well, I think if she Googles him, and then that
yeah,
might
but
come
the,
up.
They don't know in the moment who this guy is. Some guy probably had to say to the girls, "That's the that's the former NFL coach." His girls would have most girls wouldn't have any idea who he is, unless they're diehard sports fans.
Yeah.
So what's Rexy trying to do?
Well, according to her, she had no idea who he was. So again, how would she know the backstory that this guy's into feet?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of line is that? A wink and a you know what I like. And we're talking about your feet.
Your dirty old moldy feet. What if it's Shaq's foot staring at this guy?
Apparently he was a fan. Pedicured properly, and he was into it. He was digging the feet.
This guy is
so this guy's in danger on a couple of different levels. One, his wife probably wasn't loving the bar fight.
Yes.
Now she's got to get answers on whether or not this was the real deal Holyfield.
Texting, yeah.
And maybe ESPN's got another problem on their hands because this guy's getting into fights. He's trying to pick up girls'
feet.
He's into feet, and he hasn't even stepped on the set of Sunday Countdown.
Well, think about it. Charles Barkley last night loving instead of the NBA, loving the NHL. It's pretty good for him.
Yeah, I guess, man. You guys have already, you're calling me mad, you're calling me angry.
You didn't like it?
I don't think it's necessary to parade Charles around to prove that our sport is... It just feels like an inferiority complex on display for me. Let's bring the basketball guy over to talk about how great our sport is.
And say you really love hockey, so hockey's actually that cool.
But right. I don't think...
Why do we need... You know what I mean?
I agree, but I think he was organic. I don't think he's a guy that... Like, I don't think he's like, okay, I'll come on and I'm going to say this. Like, he says stuff. This guy says stuff. Like,
Bettman asked him to be there.
Invited him, yeah.
Invited him to be there. You don't think Gary was thinking this would be great? We'll put him on NBC. We'll put him on Sportsnet.
He looked goon,
He'll
too.
Do the rounds.
He looked like he had some drinks in him.
He'll show up when Gretzky and Coffey are there. It just seemed like... And I love Charles. You know, I love the way... And I don't think anything is scripted with him.
Well, that's what I meant.
But I think they knew what he... He had already said it on TNT.
Exactly. They knew he was going to say it. But that's my point is, this guy isn't a puppet for the NHL. Like, I think he's genuine. He's looking at the NBA saying, this is not entertainment compared to what's going on over here. Like,
you
I believe
paid
that.
For that.
I don't think they would have got paid.
I don't.
They might have
so.
Flown them in. Might have said, "Hey, we'll pick up your ticket, put you up in a hotel or something." I'm not sure. I don't know how. I mean, he's got so much money. I don't even know how that transaction would work.
He's one of my favorite broadcasters, and I don't even watch that much basketball. But I tune in to watch to hear what this guy has to say because he is kind of off the wall. Him and Shaq get at each other. They, you know, I think he's really entertaining. I think that's another thing that's kind of good for the game. It may not be the, you know, it's a small layer, but it's you've got somebody else. You don't see NHL guys, former NHL Jeremy Roenick sitting at the NBA game going, "This is the greatest thing in the world."
Exactly.
The NHL
sucks. You know why? Because ESPN would be like, "Why would we have Jeremy Roenick on the set right now?"
Yeah. Point, so point being,
why would we have a hockey player on?
But
no way.
The NBA is not, that's what I think it's true. The NBA doesn't hold a candle to the NHL as far as entertainment. We've just discussed it. The last couple games, they stink.
Well, like the hockey games, 4-1, 5-1.
Yeah, but those are empty netters, too, there. Like, the games are 3-1.
Okay, like, 3-1, though, Noodles. It's okay. That's not...
Well, we're not losing by 40 points. Like, that's... And basketball players give up halfway through the game when they know it's over.
Give me the exciting game in through four.
I thought last night was a good game. Pittsburgh could have easily won that game if it wasn't for Pekka Rinne last night. Pittsburgh outchanced Nashville. Nashville did not outplay Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh outchanced Nashville.
Well, luckily, chances don't matter in the end. What matters is who scores and who ends up actually winning the game.
I know, but we
and
were in here
Nashville
many times.
Nashville won 4-1.
We were in here many times talking about how teams play. Like, I'll give you an example. In the first round, when Washington was outchancing Toronto, people were like, "Oh, you know, Toronto's right there." And I'm saying they're outchancing them badly. So last night, Pittsburgh outchanced Nashville. Pekka Rinne was the difference. I thought it was a good game.
All right.
It's only one, though. Let's see more.
Exactly. The NBA's played two. So if they have a great game three, who's ahead? If it's an unbelievable game in three. No, because the first three games in these playoffs wasn't very good. You said the game one was horrible.
It was a terrible
Absolutely
game.
Absolutely an awful game.
I agree.
Game.
It was a terrible game. It was a terrible game to watch. And you actually said it was good because there were storylines.
No, I said there were storylines. I said it executed poorly, but I'll take it because there was something intriguing that came out of the games.
Yeah. No, I think that both of them could be better, put it that way. But I don't like the NBA... When guys just mail it in when the score's done. Score's 30, the game is done. They just give up. Or at least in the NHL, they're still trying at the end. Like Pittsburgh was trying last night at 3-1. I saw LeBron's crew pack it in. They were gone.
Well, they get pulled out of the game.
I know, but
I mean,
Kyrie and those guys, they were done. They were on the bus.
Okay.
They were on the bus.
All right.
You don't think so? You thought it was
I don't think either finals have been very, very entertaining. That's what I'm saying. I'm not picking one over the other. I'm just saying, like, I think...
entertainment value of both series, what are you putting ahead of the other?
Honestly, I think because Golden State is playing such perfect, entertaining basketball, there's something about that product...
The idea of going 16-0?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Like, Nashville and Pittsburgh are not doing anything that other teams have never done before.
No.
Like, that's the only storyline that
Well, if Pittsburgh wins, that's back-to-back in modern day, or in cap era, which is something special.
Which would be big.
Right.
Right, but I'm saying the style of play. We're not seeing a breakthrough here. No one at the end of this is going to say either Nashville or Pittsburgh is the greatest team to ever play.
Right.
Golden State is going to have a legitimate case of being the greatest team to ever play.
Right.
So that's the only thing I would say is that watching them do what they do is a little bit more entertaining.
No, you're right. You made that point yesterday, too, about 20 years from now when we're living it and looking back and say, "I remember that when that team dominated." That's the point you made yesterday,
right.
Which is true.
And I think that's the thing.
True.
Like, in the moment, we're dealing with games that could probably supply us with some more entertainment value. But at the end of the day, let's say Pittsburgh wins and Golden State goes 16-0. We're going to walk away saying we just witnessed history. Pittsburgh winning both back-to-back in the cap era has never happened before.
Right.
No team's ever gone 16-0.
No, that's true. You make a good, valid point there.
I guess I'm just getting greedy here. I just want more in terms of the actual games.
And that's
fair. I want
more
lead changes. I want closer games.
As a fan, you want...
I don't have a dog in the fight. If it was my team, I'd say, go ahead. Fill your boots. Win 5-0 or win by 40 every single night. That'd be great.
Well, I think we got at least six games. I mean, for now, we've got at least six in the NHL. So they've got to get a little bit more entertainment going on that side. But
we get pumped again at 4:30?
Yeah, Hartnell bailed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Steph's had
How's that happen?
Day.
Every single day, whenever we book someone at like 4:30.
No, but I don't get it as far as the caller. So they confirm, but then at the time to call in, what do they do? Just not call in?
I guess, yeah. He was supposed to call in. He just never called.
If it was set up, though, through somebody, you know that there's a disconnect. If Steph was dealing with, like, Hartnell himself, like, he's not going to say, yes, I'm going to do this, and then... Just to say, to hell with them. Maybe he didn't want to give you a birthday present.
Maybe
he didn't want to call in.
Listen, it's his off season, man. He can do whatever he wants.
I agree.
He doesn't have to be bothered by calling
in. I like Scotty Hartnell.
I'm a fan. He's a fun interview.
He's a great interview.
We'll track him down at some point.
Really?
We'll get him on. Ray should answer, I would think.
We'll see. He was in the building. How many catfishes were thrown last night?
At least a couple, I think. At least a couple.
No charges laid?
Not that I'm aware of. Not Nash. We'll see if someone's got the stones to do it in Pitt.
By the way,
five.
He scrolled down on a bicycle bar.
You don't
want
that
is a hard no guy.
Really?
Yeah, someone sent a pic, though, and there is a couple of gentlemen on this. Now, I'm sure they're with their girlfriends or wives and got roped into it, but...
So you guys are saying that if we're in Chicago, when are we going to Chicago? A couple weeks from now?
Yeah.
Beautiful day in the afternoon. We've got the time off. You don't want to go on a bike bar down Magnificent Mile?
No, I'd rather pass.
I don't think so.
The bike
I would
bar,
never do that.
No. It's obnoxious. It's uncalled for.
It's obnoxious.
It's totally unnecessary.
You can drink on it?
Yes, you could drink on it. Like I say, a cold beer, a Zaw sitting there in front of us, and we could chit-chat and just roll along Magnificent Mile in Chicago. You wouldn't go on a bike bar?
I'd rather go into a bar. Why wouldn't you just go into a bar? Why would you want a bike?
I'm not pedaling.
Well,
I'll go on it, but I'm not pedaling.
I'm sure you could put your feet up. Somebody else would pedal.
We'll get Gary Roberts and Rod Brindamore on it, and just we'll watch.
They can work out, and we'll drink.
They'll just drive us around the city.
That's a good idea. All right, Ray, hopefully coming up. Steve Phillips, the Jays dropping another one last night. Jay Happ got hit and hit pretty hard. Smoke with another home run, though. I mean, this guy's got 15 on the year. He's on pace for like 35-plus. So we'll talk a little bit about that later in the afternoon. And Mike Schmidt, one of the great Phillies of all time, with a comment about a certain player in Philly that is causing quite the stir. There's some goose gossage coming out of Mike Schmidt. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Some texts being fired out there. We have to get confirmation that it actually is Austin Matthews. The giant
lion.
Lion with a crown.
There's obviously some sort of
a tattoo.
Yeah.
Did you say tattoo?
No.
I don't think you said tattoo.
I don't think it said. Yeah.
Like I said image or picture or whatever.
Yeah, you said we got to get confirmation of something. So it's an
Yeah, cuz it's the guy's arm. I want to know for sure. Because I know how much I regret my tattoos.
Yeah, I have some I regret.
All of them. I want them all gone. I want them off my body.
I went through the process.
You would wipe out every tattoo.
My buddy that I used to play with in Carolina, Ryan Beta, he does tattoo removal. I want them all gone.
It hurts like hell, man.
How much money would that cost?
I don't care.
How much
pain? I would pay $100,000 to get them all gone.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want them anymore.
I went through the process with Dr. Tatoff in Beverly Hills, and I paid $5,000 to start removing these ones on my wrists and on my arms and stuff. And you got to go 11 different times every 6 weeks. So once every 6 weeks to 2 months. We can get into it. It's
all right,
crazy.
We'll get back into this.
It hurts like hell.
I'm so happy I don't have any tattoos.
I've got 13
you should be.
Or whatever, and it's gross.
Because there's nothing worse than waking up one day, looking at your body, and thinking... Like, I had a brutal tattoo when I was in junior. It was like a little baby with a hockey stick.
Yeah. We all got to have your tattoo.
The first tat's always a bad tat.
That's right. So I go in there, and I'm like, I got to cover this up. What do I get on it? He goes, a giant cougar. So I have a, like, I have a cat on my shoulder that covers my whole shoulder.
We have to get
into all right, we'll get back into this. We'll see if Ray has any tattoos. I don't think he does.
I guarantee no.
I would say no guy.
He's from the old
school. Nongi. All right, Ray's coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.